Oh, isn't it a blessing singing that song together to you? Beautiful. Guys, there's so much blessing in this country. Really is. So much blessing in New Zealand. And so often we, as Christians, we think, well, we just need more and more and more, but there is so much of God's goodness in this country. And that includes the multiracial aspect of New Zealand and the tangata whenua. Okay, so this is for Andrew in particular. So we've been doing 3 weeks. This is the third week of doing one verse, well, one passage. So Andrew, just to recap, where is he? So recap what we did. So we spoke about listening and recognizing and obeying the Good Shepherd's voice. And we spoke about making that time. And some tools for that, prayer book, Lectio 365, wherever that comes from, and a number of other things. And we're collecting those for you to in our library for you guys to use. So it's important. You don't spend time with God, how can you hear his voice? Well, hear God's voice. So we spoke about that, the up, our relationship upward with God. And then we spoke about, I have other sheep. And I gave the quote, we're the only club that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Who said that? William Temple. Some of you were listening. William Temple. We're the only club that exists for the benefit of its non-members. So God is a God who sends. He doesn't just gather, he sends. He gathers and sends. And today, so that's the out. So we've done the up, we've done the out, and today we're doing the in, our relationships with one another. And so that song we sang was just absolutely beautiful and apt. So today we focus on there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now it's interesting how contentious this is. I just preached this at the 9 o'clock and had a number of people coming up to me and talking to me about denominational things, which is interesting. Now I've got this joke, which I love. I do, look, a denominational joke is good in the right place. So here's one. Dave had died. All right, and he was in the queue getting into heaven, and he draws closer to St. Peter, and he can overhear him saying, asking the people the same question. Denomination, St. Peter asks, and this little old lady, she had reached the front of the queue, and she said, I'm a Methodist, she replies. And St. Peter says, he checks his notes, and he goes, okay, and he directs it to the 8th floor on the left. He says, please be quiet as you go past the first door on the right. She says, okay, and off she goes. She's off to her room. And then the same thing happens. The next person comes up and he says, denomination? And the man says, as he reaches the front of the crew, I'm a Lutheran. St. Peter checks his notes. He directs the man to the 6th door on the right. He says, please be quiet as you go past that first door on the right. He says, okay, and off he goes. And finally, it's Dave's turn to enter into heaven. And St. Peter asks him, he says, denomination? And, so, and Dave says, I'm United Reformed. And St. Peter checks his notes. He directs David to the 14th floor on the left. And he says, by the way, can you, the door on the first door on the right, just please be quiet as you go past there. Now, Dave couldn't help himself. He says, Peter, why should I be quiet as I go past that first door on the right? He says, because it's the evangelicals and they think they're the only ones here. I'm glad you can laugh at yourselves. That's important. Now, look, you can slip any denomination into that. You could say Catholic, all right? You could say Reformed or Protestant, whatever. It works for any denomination, that joke. Guys, our various communities and social networks are the biggest source of potential growth to you spiritually. We've been talking about spiritual growth. Our friendships, our partnerships, our relationships in our church, our relationships with our colleagues at work, believe it or not, are the biggest potential source of our spiritual growth. Now, it might not always feel like that. It might not always feel like that, but they are. They are. And Nauan says, actually, it's not just a potential for growth that these folk present to us. It's a potential to serve. It's a potential to serve. and as Jesus himself served. So, I want you now, look, I know people hate doing this, but just be prepared for it. You don't have to say anything, all right? I want you to look at the people around you, in the seat next to you, okay, and around you in the seats behind. John's not looking. Stephen's looking a little bit. Okay, get used to it. You're going to see a lot more of these people for a long time, because eternity is a long time. Now, some of you will be thinking, oh my goodness, you'll be full of dread as you did that, and go, oh my goodness, that cannot be true, Ian, please. Some of you would have had joy in your heart because, you know, you've got good relationships with those close around. Now, whatever your response is, there's a truth in that. There's an eternal truth in what we've just done. You have been looking at a brother and sister in the same family of God. They might drive you bananas at times. That's what family is about sometimes. But this is an eternal truth. You're looking at someone, or just been looking at someone made in the image of God. So hold on to that. A fellow sheep of the one and only good shepherd. Now the second point is, and I'll put this down. In this passage, Jesus says, I have other sheep, and they are not the sheep of this pen. We focused on that last week. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice. And here's the focus today. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Be very careful how you speak about other congregations. Be very, very careful. It's tempting in these times when church is in decline to circle the wagons and to make ourselves feel better by speaking badly of other churches. Please don't do that. Now, this is a big temptation for leaders in the church, particularly leaders who feel insecure. Because the whole thing of growth is a massive thing with priests and with clergy and declining church numbers. So it's much easier to blame someone else, isn't it? So that is the temptation we must resist. Instead, we should be praying for other churches that they will hear God's, particularly the leaders, they'll hear God's voice and they'll obey God's voice. That is the challenge. And that's the challenge we've been looking at ourselves. Hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice, because in that is incredible blessing. Incredible blessing. And look, I'm speaking to myself as well. I need to be careful of that as a church leader. Look, one of the features of New Zealand and coming over from England was really interesting, is we do have an advantage here in the church. I know we're very post-modern, post-secular, and post-Christendom, which makes it a challenge. But one of the great things about New Zealand is, and I've heard other people say this, at heart, we are denominationally, we are all mongrels. I'm glad you laughed at that. The 9 o'clock service did not. But I'm so glad of that. When I became a Christian, I thought, well, what's this denomination stuff? It's a load of cobblers. Look, it's great that there's different expressions of the one faith. That's important. But in New Zealand, I think it is a lifestyle choice. So once you're a Christian, you're a Christian. There's one God, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there are many expressions. Okay, the UK is not so like that. Now, I struck church politics quite early on in my stage of coming forward for ordination. So I was in Hong Kong, and there was an Oxford professor. He was ordained, he's a clergy, and he was speaking at St. John's Cathedral in Hong Kong. And I thought, I'll go along to this because it's theology. I'm really interested in theology. And I got there, it's all men, lots of men, various ages, and this gray-haired older man God rest his soul. I'm sure he's not alive now. And he, you know, had a black gown and, you know, had all the trappings. And he was talking about the future of the church in China. And it's very interesting. When he was talking, he said the future of the church in China is the Catholic Church. I thought, well, that's interesting. He hasn't mentioned the millions of people who are in house churches that are exploding in faith and being persecuted by the communist government. Not once did he mention them. But, you know, that's okay. He's this is all new to me. So, at the end of his lecture, and it was a lecture, he made a beeline to me and came straight to me at the back of where we were meeting. And he put out his hand. He said, "You're not clergy." He says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm thinking of becoming a vicar." And he turned around and he walked away. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. These English gentlemen, they're not such gentlemen all the time. And that was my introduction to church politics. He was very high church, very Catholic, Anglo-Catholic. And what he saw in me was someone who was very low church and not of his understanding of what a priest should be. Now, 7 years later, I finally got accepted for training in Bristol. It took 7 years. And along the way, I encountered a number of those sort of encounters. Now, that's not to say that I should have gone for training earlier. I mean, I got grayer and older and probably a little bit wiser. But it's interesting when you come up against these aspects of churchmanship that you don't think are important. We did curacy in Plymouth. Plymouth is really interesting because in the middle of Plymouth, there is a field, Freedom Field it's called, and it's where the Roundheads and the Cavaliers had a battle many, many years ago over religion. And it's really interesting because the Bishop of Plymouth was Anglo-Catholic, but underneath him were all these low church charismatic evangelicals, and they were at each other all the time. Because they were focusing on things that were not important, that really didn't matter in the bigger picture. In the picture of eternity, these things do not matter. Now, what happens is we tend to fixate on things that detract from the truth of the gospel and the fact that we are one flock with a myriad of expressions. We are one flock, and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ in that same flock. Beware of doctrinal sideshows. There are lots of people getting involved in them, and it's a waste of time. Because the greater truth is so much more beautiful and so much more poignant. And that is where true freedom is. Now, coming to conclusion, I was in Salvation Cafe yesterday. I don't know if you know that. It's down Newtown. And I was sitting in there writing this sermon, and this group of people came in, and it was really interesting. There's about 15 of them, and they're all different age groups, different ethnicities. And this older woman sat next to me, and this young South American guy, about 20, she was probably in the late 70s. She was in the 70s. So old. And I'm getting there. And anyway, they were having this really intimate conversation. And I noticed these other people were spending time with one another that wouldn't normally spend time with. So the question that came into my mind was, why are these people here? I heard the word Buddhist mentioned. And when they went, I went to talk to a couple people left at the table. I said, "Excuse me, guys, where are you from and why are you here?" And they said, "Oh, we're from the Wellington Buddhist Center. And we come here after meditation and we meet together." Guys, that is mission. Really easy. You just go out as a group of people after a sermon with people who you really like, and you just spend time together. And as a group, young and old, male and female, and people go, why are you here with them? And they asked the question. Now, I did ask that question, and the guy said, we're from the Buddhist Center, would you like to come along? And I said, oh yeah, great, I'm an Anglican priest. And the conversation stopped. But it was such a great model of mission. So when we talk about the out, it's not the old stuff of going into the street with bashing people with Bibles. It's about living the life. It's about living the life together as a community. Because that's where the transformation is. That's where we cut against the grain of what the world is about, which is consumerism and isolation. It really is a problem. Consumerist isolation is a problem, and independence, because we can't exist that way healthily. We're made to be and to live in community. I was reminded of this bit of scripture. A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, and by this, by your love for one another, they shall know that you're my disciples. Such a massively important scripture that Jesus said. We tend to compartmentalize our lives to be more in control and to make life more manageable. And this includes our spiritual lives. It includes ministry. Now, it's interesting. When I'm with people and, you know, they find out I'm a priest, they go, oh, I've got this problem. Or, or I've got this ailment. And you say, oh, I'll pray for you. And often people go, oh, that'd be nice. Thank you very much. Expecting me just to go off and come in here and pray for someone because this is where you pray. Instead of say, and they said, no, I'll pray now. And they go, what? But that's that compartmentalization. Why not pray for someone there and then? God is there. He's with you. All right? So live your life in faith, expectant in faith, knowing that God is with you and will work through you. Just about to finish. Knowing and loving one another requires us to notice each other more, to know each other better, and to live alongside each other more honestly and truthfully and openly. There's many ways to live in community. Bishop Justin's Urban Vision and AYM is just one way of living in community. It's not the way. Often that's what happens in churches. People find something and they think this works. They say this is the way. It's not. There's many different ways to be community, and we are a community here at Karori Anglican. False compartmentalization and contractual ways of living our lives is challenged by the gospel in action. A church away weekend, which Andrew and Heidi spoke so well about, is an antidote to that. And I'm not just saying that to get you along. Seriously, it is. House churches are an antidote to that. Coming alongside, people have been saying about the house churches, oh my goodness, we've shared so much more deeply over lockdown than I ever have. Than we ever have. And those house churches have continued. People want deeper relationship. We long for it. We long for it. But we also long for that relationship with God. St. Augustine says, men and women's hearts are longing for what only God can fulfill in our hearts. There is a hunger out there, whether we know it or other people know it or not, for God to fill or fulfill us as human beings. And I'll leave you with this. There shall be one flock and one shepherd, and love one another as I have loved you. By this and your love for one another, they shall know that you are my disciples. Amen. What we're going to do is we're just going to have a time of confession. Because this is quite challenging, eh? It is. It should be. It should be challenging for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment's silence, invite the Spirit to come, and bring to mind anything, our own attitudes that we need to confess to the Lord. So let's do that. If you could bring that up. Great. And we'll say this together when we've taken that moment of silence. So let's just come before the Lord. This is Lent, of course, and it's a time for repentance, which is a beautiful gift to us. So let's come into God's presence. Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Bring to each of our minds those times when we have made judgments that are unfair and uncalled for. Of anyone. And let us confess our sins together. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said,
in the wrong we have done, and in the good we have not done. We have sinned
in ignorance, we have sinned in weakness, we have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry, we repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Saviour Christ's sake, and renew our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. And through the cross of Christ, God, have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. And know that you're forgiven and be at peace. God, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Amen.